Around this time of year, I really focus on building community. The reason for it is 17 years of doing youth ministry. And what I figured out is when people belong, they start to behave. So if you want to help young people kind of want to pull together and do the right thing, then work really hard on helping them know they belong. What I also figured out on the way through is community makes a massive difference on whether people actually follow Jesus. So when people feel like they belong and they matter, they're more open to hearing about Jesus and more likely to follow. And the opposite is also true. When people are excluded, when they're not noticed, when they're not valued, it doesn't matter what anybody says about following Jesus, they think, no, that's not for me. And in youth ministry, I saw both. And what I figured out was that if you don't work hard on building community, what is at stake is people's eternal destiny. That's what I figured out. Now, that sounds super heavy, doesn't it? If I don't work hard on helping our, say, if it's the youth group or our kids' church or our young adults and church, work hard on building community, then people will reject Jesus because we've rejected them. We've not valued them. And I've been doing this job for 28 years now. And all the places that I've seen community being built, people living out what I call kingdom values and valuing people, the gospel has prospered in people's lives. It's flourished. And all the places where it's not been true, it doesn't matter how much work I have put into stuff, it cannot take root in people's lives. So the ability to be a genuine community where people matter is a big deal for me. Seems that I'm not the only one who thinks so. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5, which I know is familiar. Familiar passage. Paul, the Apostle Paul writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other." This is a well-known passage for everyone who's kind of hung around church for a while, but just to kind of fill it out, Paul says it does make me happy to see the work of God in your life, to see that the way of that your life with Jesus works out, that you've got encouragement from being united with Christ, you've been comforted by God, you've got a sharing of the Spirit, a sense of fellowship with God, you're receiving tenderness and compassion. That makes me happy. I'm glad for you. But I'll be even more glad if you could make my joy complete. That you've got life with Jesus, but you'll make me even happier if that life with Jesus reaches its goal. And what's its goal? That you'll have, you'll be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. The goal is that your life with Jesus will work out and extend to your life with others. That's the goal. I'm pretty happy that you've got great things in your own life. I'll be even happier if you take that and give it to other people. That all that comfort and all that encouragement and all that unity and all that tenderness and compassion might go out to other people that you are doing life with. And so Paul connects the spiritual life, the thing that people really pay attention to, and he says it actually connects to the social life, the way you live with people and the community that you build. And we get that. You get that. What do you think when you meet Christians but you're locked out of the circle of their friendship? What do you think of those people? Firstly, you probably think a bunch of snobs, but what are you thinking of their Christian faith? When you meet Christians and they circle up and they're all really nicely happy with each other, but you're out of it, what do you think of them? You're thinking they're not much Christian, aren't you? No judgment, of course, but that's what you think. You think they're not much Christian? That doesn't seem to be what Christians would do. And so our community life, our social life, is actually of spiritual significance. It's an expression of our service, our unity, our community, all the grace that God has shown us. Our community life together is of spiritual significance. It's what it means when you belong to God, you'll actually experience belonging in God's community. And so that's why I'm like massively passionate about it. If we don't get community right, we haven't got much right. And we've got to put it into practice. Paul also shifts the center of Christian community. Like the world that we live in, the modern world, it puts friendship and community around interests. So if you're in a footy and you're in a footy club, that's an easy community because everyone's in a footy and you can talk footy all your life. You think about your friends, there is enough common shared interest with your friends. It might have started out some of you with children, but you got to kind of sift through all the parents that have kids similar ages and you find people with similar values, similar interests to you. So your community in the modern world is all around the things that you share in common. That's actually not true in Christian community, and it's not true as far as Paul is concerned in Philippians 2. Actually, what builds Christian community is having the same mindset as Jesus. Jesus is at the center of our community. Which means, Zach, you may have noticed this, but actually Christian community can be very diverse. It can have a whole bunch of people who would not normally do life together. Because there's outside of Jesus, there may not be much shared interest. But actually, because of Jesus, we are bound to each other. And in fact, the Christian language is we are family. In some ways, that kind of rings true for me. You don't always have the same interests with your family, but you're always family, aren't you? My brother is into surfing like crazy, and I know a few of you other people here are into surfing like crazy, but you may have noticed I don't look like I'm into surfing like crazy. But he's my brother. So we love each other and we're bound to each other, but we're not surfing with each other. And church community, it has at its center not the shared interests, not the people that are like us, but the fact that it's built around Jesus, where we have his mindset and we're his people. And so church community is quite different to the wider communities that you're part of. It is quite different. It's unlike most other places. Our church has grown about, or changed in congregation, about a third over the last 2 years. It's a fair change. Back in 2000, I found out that half of the people in our church would have 50% turnover in 5 years. So a church like ours has some movement. We are also growing, which is lovely. But what that means is there's roughly a third of the people in the room who are trying to figure out, how do we belong here? How do we build community? Now, it turns out that I probably know every person by name, but most people wouldn't. That's unique to my role and the little place I sit in the community. Most people wouldn't. But all of us have a place in building community. All of us can help that. Like, you can't just say, surely, that it'll be fine. Jason knows every single person's name here. That's community. That's not community. That's demanding. That's crazy. I remember noticing Neil Ryan was the pastor prior to me. And at the time, I think the church might have been, say, 400 or so people. And Neil Ryan knew everyone's name. And I remember thinking at the time, that's crazy. Why should a pastor of a community that large have to know everybody's name? And now here I am, needing to know everyone's name. That's not how you build community. You don't build community by a few people saying, I'm going to know everybody. That's not right. And we don't build community by you knowing everybody. We build community by building community. By being a place where people know that they can belong and helping people to belong. Imagine that you're at youth group with me on a Friday night and there's a young person who is alone in the crowd sitting on their mobile. This is not a theoretical situation. This happens. It happens on Friday night. What should we do with that situation? Well, I guess we could promote initiative and resilience by doing what usually happens in a crowd. We can do nothing. That'll help that young person be tougher. Everyone will stay with their friends, and no one will even see that young person alone in the crowd. We could do that. Or we could see them, we could speak to them, and we could help them connect to others. Just a question, which would you prefer me to do as a responsible person in the room? Which would you want to do? You may not think that you are responsible in that circumstance, but you're building community. It doesn't take one person to build community. It actually takes all of us to build community. And the thing about churches is they could be amazing places at promoting initiative and resilience. They can be really good at this because they fail to genuinely welcome people. In my different jobs that I've had in life, had the opportunity of visiting many churches. And most churches were not, well, that most churches worked hard to promote initiative and resilience in me. Right? I'd go to the church. I can remember one very clearly because I was preaching. So, you know, I'm the preacher guy. So I rocked up to the church, as good preacher people do, 30 minutes early. And I rocked up to the church and I walked in and there were people milling around, getting ready for the service. No one said hello to me. So I went and sat down in the auditorium or the chapel. No one said hello to me. I thought, oh, I'm pretty thirsty. So I got up, walked out, found my way to the kitchen. Never been to this church before, but found my way to the kitchen. Kitchen's abuzz with people working and doing stuff. I grab a glass. I fill my glass up with water. No one says hello to me. I walk back into the church. No one says hello to me. I go the whole way until I preach, and then I say hello to everybody else. Nuts. But I guess it helped me with my initiative and resilience. Right? Nuts. Now, I've been in other churches, and I know that you can be in a church and walk through a whole crowd of people and have nobody see you and go get yourself a cup of coffee. And the person who's giving the coffee hopefully is saying hello to you. But you take your coffee and stand in the middle of that crowd and nobody still sees you. No one speaks to you. No one connects to you and you go home. I know that's true. I know that people can do that for 9 months because some people here have told me that is the case. I'm not saying actually gladly not our church, but just hands up if anyone knows what I'm talking about here. It's horrible. But I guess at least it's promoting initiative and resilience in you. It's helping you be tougher people. If you really wanted to be in our church, you'll work pretty hard to make it so. Isn't that crazy? It is crazy. And I know in the scheme of things, that new person coming to our church is not maybe your responsibility. But it turns out actually they are. Because they're family too. They're family too. One of the things that's really special to me is literally you go anywhere in the world, they're Jesus followers anywhere in the world. That's firstly pretty amazing. But you go anywhere in the world and meet, go to somewhere where Jesus followers are gathered and you have a new family. Well, the same family, just people you've never met before. Sisters and brothers you've never met before. So we could promote initiative and resilience at Only Part Baptist Church. Or we could see people, we could speak to people, we could connect with people. In our church, we do hope that everybody has a place to contribute and play their part. Not everyone wants to be up on a stage. Not everyone wants to do various things. But one of the things that all of us can do is say hello. Notice people. See them. Connect with them. I do want to say one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is our church membership. And one of the things that, if you're a church member, it means that you've decided this is your church and you want to be part of contributing to this local church. And sometimes it feels like that's mostly about going to a members' meeting and voting. I want to remind you, church members, if you're a church member, this is your church. This is my church too. I take it super passionately, but this is your church too. This is the one that you want to contribute into. This is the one that you want people to belong to. So, it'd be good for you to know that being a church member, if you take it seriously, this is a great church to belong to, you can help others belong. One of the really interesting things to me, having been in churches, is some of the best people at looking out for new people are new people. I've noticed that new people are really terrific at looking out for new people. But that's what it takes. It takes all of us taking initiative, seeing especially, speaking and building community. Then what happens is this. When you look out for people, is you just might meet a new friend. Someone you do have shared interests with. You just might meet somebody that you feel like you want to hang out with more. And that happens when we're in a community where people love to belong. Got a few things I want to throw up there as suggestions about how you can help people belong at Only Part Baptist Church. You could see them. Now you might find, oh, I've been here for a long time and I don't know anybody who's it. These people who sit on this side don't know anybody who sits on that side. I have a line. You're new to me. My name's Jason. What's your name? Because it doesn't really matter if you're seeing someone you don't recognize them. You don't have to say, oh, you're new to our church. You're just new to me. Say your name. Say good day. Ask them their name. Try to remember it. Find a little about them. Why they came. Be hospitable. Ask them if they know anyone at church, and if not, get them to sit with you. Help them. Let them know about all the other things that they might value, such as growth groups. If you see that they've got children now, Only Part Kids or youth, etc. There's lots of things that go on around here. Connect them to others. Introduce them to people you think they could connect well with. Introduce them to a pastor. Invite them along to your growth group. And then follow up. Look out for them. In the following weeks, care for them, help them connect to others so that Only can be their home. it's not really tough. And I'm not actually asking much of our church, am I? And I might be promoting initiative and resilience in you. See, that's the right way. It's the right way for the people who call home to do the work, so that the people who are the guests and the new people belong. I really hope that you've had times in your life when you've been in church and it's like been the best ever. I hope you've had times like that. I just want to throw up a few photos of my time in my life. There's a time that I grew up in the church, Aboriginal church. That was awesome. There's quite a few photos of this church. And some of you might see your children there. But there's these really vivid memories throughout my life of church being a place where people love Jesus. There's lots of fun, laughter, memories. People meet people and they get married. There's surprising friendships. People you never thought would be your friend turn out to be really close friends. Church at its best is amazing. And I've always dreamed that only part could be church at its best. I want to go to that church. I want to work for it, serve God, help build it. I hope you do too. I'm going to ask Andy up. Andy's our council chair. And I thought it'd be a good way just to kind of close with Andrew speaking to this.
I've got written down here, good morning. Good day. That's what I should be saying. My name's Andy Edelston. I'm the chair of the council. I'm one of the deacons. I'm here at our church. And I've been here about 8 years with Angela, my wife, and April, my daughter. So in many ways, one of the newbies of Unley Park, but also not one of the third who have just arrived either, so maybe in the middle part. A few of the council members got together a few weeks ago when we knew Jason was going to speak on this, on following last week and belonging this week. And we thought it would be good to respond to Jason and the team, respond to them as a church. So I'm hopefully going to represent all of us, but also to respond to Jason. Firstly, to encourage Jason and his team. They're not speaking into a void. They're not just speaking out there. They're speaking to our hearts, speaking to the Holy Spirit that's working in and amongst us so that we can do the things that they would like us to do and God would like us to do. But also to encourage us to action. And it's a call to action, isn't it? All that Jason said this week and last week, a call to action. I don't know if you know, but on our website, it says Unley Park Baptists, where our life in Jesus helps others with faith, connection, and belonging. And this translates into follow and help others follow, and help others belong. Now, this is what we say we do, but how do we not just have that as words on our website, but actually in our hearts and what we do? So there's a call to action from Jason, a challenge, and I think a few of you would have heard internal challenges as Jason spoke already this morning, just wondering what more you could do, what you could do. As some of you may know, I work in Christian schools. We have 3 schools across South Australia, and we have, the year's just begun, so a new year, and we've had commencement services across the schools, but also to the leadership and the staff, and our head of schools, the chief principal of all 3 schools, Mike Potter, gave this talk to us. And he brought along with him a couple of props. And one of the props was a big wooden stake that he stuck in the ground. And he said to us, and I'm changing the word church for school, he said to us all, these are ELC little guys up to the year 12 and the staff and all the students, but also parents and caregivers who were there as well. And he said, who do you want your school, who do you want your church to be this year? And also, what do you want your church to be this year? And Jason's given us a lead on this, isn't it? Building community, belonging, especially helping that first third of people belong here as well. So that's the first prop. Who and what do you want your church to be? Then he also had a shovel. And he gave us the picture of the shovel. And he said, pick up your shovel and dig. Do something. Just get on with it. And that was the challenge. And to us, it's say good day, say hello, and connect. So perhaps it is time for us to put the stake in the ground and pick up our shovel. Do something. You know, we're hugely blessed in this church, greatly, and we know that. But with that, as Luke reminds us in 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. There's a challenge, isn't there? And we have huge blessings. We have Jason and the team, and he's stirring us. He's stirring us, our spirit, but he's also stirring the Holy Spirit to work in and amongst us, from within. And he's taken us on a journey for the last 6 years. 6 years almost, Jason's been with us. We've been on that journey. But this is our church, as Jason says. We are the church, and we're on that journey as well. Our church is the staff, the council, the elders, the growth groups we saw here, that's our church in action. Kids out the back, Unley Park kids, young adults, youth, all the basketball teams, all of us here. This is us, all of us. This is our church. This is what our church is made of. But it's also made of stories. And we want to help others know how to be part of us and how they can become part of the stories, and their stories here can become part of their lives. We've heard the growth groups. Those are all stories, weren't they, we were hearing? Stories of gatherings, stories of fellowship. And I just want to go back to this time last week. Sorry, Max. Max was up here thinking he was going to have a quick, quiet chat with Jason out the back after church. And he had it up here. And Max, I felt when he was speaking last week, belongs to this church. He came here as a little guy with his family, but when he also arrived, people invested in him. And he named a few. They showed that they cared for him. There's Kathy Heath, the Harrises, the Lewises. And now he wants to give back, and he wants to help others belong by being a youth leader. That's the story, that's the belonging, isn't it? So the question is, given our blessings and our situation, how can we act and how do we behave? And that big question, how would Jesus behave in our circumstance? It takes us all to build this community, to build family, to build belonging. So what can we do to belong? We've listed a few, but I just have a few here. We've got family church picnic on March the 5th. Come along and bring someone else. We've got the growth groups and new growth group leaders. Keep asking people to come along to your growth group. It's so powerful to be asked and be invited. We might not say yes the first time, but we'll say yes some point when it's right. Become a member, part of the church decisions. Join the various volunteer and varied volunteer rosters. I know we're looking for baristas at the moment. And if you're interested, bring someone else along. It doesn't just have to be you learning on your own. Seek to become an elder or a deacon. We have deacon positions available at the moment. And being English, I know the power of a cup of tea. Come out the back, pick up a cup of tea, or have a latte, or whatever you need. But connect with people. Connect with somebody. It's as easy as that. It's also as difficult as that. And if you don't feel ready, remember, those he calls, he equips. It's not the other way around. And we have a backer, don't we? Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For it is God who is at work in you. What a supporter on your side. What more do you need? So perhaps just give it a go. We are super blessed, hyper blessed, all those big old words, with the team that we have here. We have Miranda, we have Sarah, we have Chris, Bronwyn, Alice, and of course Jason. Now we're here to support them in the job they're doing. So take up that shovel. And someone told me the other day, we're a super capable church. I think that's true, super capable. And in the link, I don't know if you read it this week, but it says, when people belong, they want to contribute. Let's all seek to belong and contribute simultaneously. Unley Park Baptist, where our life in Jesus helps others with faith, connection, and belonging. Follow and help others follow and help others belong. So perhaps it's time to put our stake in the ground and let's take up our shovel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us strength so that we can build a church of belonging, to create a community for all to share their gifts, to know that each of us is loved, to help us see the light of Christ in all that we serve. You are great, you are glorious. We lift you up in your majesty. We look to you for our path and for the Holy Spirit to work within us to help connect with others. May you equip us with all that we need to do your will. And Lord, we pray thanks for our church and all the blessings upon it and upon us. May we honour you and seek to be more Christ-like in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.